Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Now, this is a live radio broadcast designed to inspire, encourage, and empower you forward into your breakthrough. Now, join me weekly, along with my distinguished guests, that will share wisdom and stories of great faith. And now, here we go. Let's get started with inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough. Well, welcome. It's me. I'm Dr. Beverly, your radio talk show host for Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. It is truly a delight to have you visit us this evening. We have a wonderful show ready for you this evening, one that will completely astound you, most definitely inspire you, and empower you into your breakthrough. Now, there are some that are on the broadcast for the first time. Let me tell you a little bit about what Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough is all about. This is a show, ladies and gentlemen, where real people come on board and tell real stories that lead up to testimonies about things that they've endured and experienced in their own lives. Why is this important? It's important because we all go through periods of our lives of peaks and valleys, things that we've experienced in our lives, and some may be in the midst of what I call turbulence right now. And it's so important to know that we're not alone. It is very helpful to be able to listen to the testimony, stories of others that have experienced turbulence as well, because it's these stories, especially when it leads up to a mighty and powerful testimony, it's these stories that inspire us to know that, you know what, we can get through it, and it truly empowers us to know that it's not the end. There truly is a better ending, a victory ahead in front of us. And lastly, it encourages us to continue to press through until our breakthrough. So that's what this broadcast is about, and you will not be disappointed tonight as this very wonderful and powerful guest comes on board and shares with you her dynamic story, which truly led into a powerful breakthrough and a testimony that she will share. Now, we have so much information to cover that I may not get to those that have questions, but I will give you the number just in case. So the call-in number is 347-202-0120. One more time, it's 347-202-0120. Now, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Now, our special guest this evening is Dr. Jessica Rodriguez. Dr. Rodriguez, I would love to take a few moments and share a little bit about her. You see, right now, ladies and gentlemen, she's a clinical director of Gateway Corporation and a clinical consultant and educator for on-site strategies. Now, her primary focus is promoting evidence-based programs and practices that foster and build assets at the individual and the community levels. Now, this is important to Dr. Bev because the broadcast, this show, is faith-based, spirit, mind, and body, based on biblical principles. So Dr. Rodriguez fits right in. Her work in the field of co-occurring treatment and substance abuse for older adults, reality therapy, I like the sound of that, and choice therapy, cultural competency, integrated treatment approaches for complex addiction, and there we go, trying to move on me, and family systems. Now, self-care for the caregiver and youth prevention services as well. Now, she's been presented at national conferences, so you're truly blessed this evening. Her body of work includes workshops and presentations and written products on topics, which include strategic planning and evaluation. Very important that you have both. Mental health, law, ethics, and various cultural diversity trainings. Now, Dr. Rodriguez has extensive knowledge and experience in clinical supervision, interventions, co-occurring disorders and trauma, behavior, relationships. She has multiple degrees and licenses. Now, she received her doctoral degree in integrated psychology. So you are getting a woman here tonight in your midst that has a wealth of knowledge to bless you. And with that, I would like to welcome Dr. Jessica Rodriguez. Dr. Rodriguez, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Beverly.
Well, it is so good to hear your voice. Wonderful to have you. And if you don't mind, for the broadcast, may I call you Dr. Jessica?
Sure, absolutely.
Perfect. Well, we're delighted to have you this evening on the line. You are truly a joy and a delight, and our audience will see just why as we get started. So thank you again for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you for affording me the opportunity.
Well, you know, that's what we do, right?
Yes,
we have to get the stories out. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started. So tell me, you know, when we were talking before, Dr. Jessica, you told me that you're the oldest. You're the oldest of, what, two sisters and one half-brother or half-brothers?
Three half-brothers.
Okay. Now, were you a stern older sister or were you fairly lenient? How are you with your brothers and sisters? Did they look up to you and admire you?
Yeah, they did. They really did. Our lives were pretty dysfunctional, and, you know, I believe many times I would step in and do what I could to support my sisters and my one half-brother, because the other three half-brothers were my father's children with a different family.
You know, you mentioned before that growing up was very dysfunctional. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
My two sisters and I lived in a household with a father who was an alcoholic and a mother who had mental health issues, and we endured a great deal of abuse by a grandfather and two of his sons. And then when my mother and father separated when I was about seven, she attracted another man who was abusive and had what we call a hands-on problem with little girls. And that proceeded for about another 5 years, so it's about 12 years of things that, you know, a child should never have to experience. And I became a part of the foster care system and got married very young. So, you know, that's basically, I would say that's wrapping my childhood up, because that's probably the most impacting part of my early experience and my early memories.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to, you know, Dr. Jessica shared a pretty broad range very quickly, and I want you to know that this broadcast is one of comfortability. It's sitting on a couch and just sharing and being transparent with each and every one of you. Why? Because so many of you can relate to the stories of our guests. So with that, Dr. Jessica, you mentioned that your parents, alcoholic and mental health issues. Now, when you talked about the sexual abuse, I remember you telling me that that started very young, at 3 years old. Is that right?
That's correct, Dr. Beverly.
So how do you remember, something that young? Is it very vivid to you, or?
It came back to me after years of working on that particular trauma. It definitely needed to be resolved. And in my memory was a time I tried to communicate after leaving my grandparents' home something that had transpired with my father. And it was such a violent reaction from my father hearing that, not towards me, but just about whatever it was that I communicated. I remembered as I grew up that my father told me the story. He reminded me of it, and I repressed it, but it came back again. And then before my mother passed, we had conversations about it. So my mom really helped me to work through a lot of that by providing the information that I would know the truth.
Wow. Now, that is really rare, ladies and gentlemen, that parents will sit, well, or one or the other will provide that information. Most times that they try to brush that under the carpet, if you will, to sweep it under the carpet. And I know some may be thinking, no, that can't be. As young as three. Well, I have to tell you, that is not uncommon. I asked Dr. Jessica how she remembered that because I have to tell you, it was probably 9 years ago that I was actually at an encounter with the church, and that was an arena where you separate the women from the men and you stay at a hotel. And, you know, basically it's a time alone, if you will, with you and the Lord. And I didn't know that I had experienced the same ordeal at 3 years old.
Wow.
Until
wow.
I was in the presence of God. I was in the presence of God. And literally, Dr. Jessica, my life was playing in front of me like a panoramic movie, if you will, that
yes.
I could see. You know what I mean? And,
yes, absolutely.
And there I saw it, and I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I had no idea, because why? Our minds suppress it so that we don't have to deal with shock or so forth or whatever, but our minds, an amazing machine, suppresses it so that we don't know exactly what happened. Now we understand what happened, meaning we know there's something because it does affect us through our lives. But I want you
right.
to know that I'm sure there are many that have experienced these occurrences, just like Dr. Jessica and myself, that we really don't even know about until what creeps up in front of you. So,
and, you know, Dr. Beverly, if I can say this to you, you were
please.
So on spot. You were so on spot. And I know from the years of knowing you that you truly are sensitive to the voice of the Lord, so the Spirit of the Lord. And when you talked about families, you know, sweeping under the carpet, that was but God. There's no way you could know that. But when you said that, I lived my entire life being required to keep it a secret because my mother said it would kill my grandmother if she ever found out. The reason she did is she never told that the same man had done this to her. And 2 years before she passed, she began trying to talk about it. And as a result of it, just exposed all of it about herself and her children to her entire family. So you really hit the nail on the head.
My Lord, you see why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have a platform just to sit down and talk and share, because people need to know, right, Jessica? They need to know and understand you're not alone. You are not alone. By no means are you alone. And, you know, Jessica mentioned that this continued, I don't know whether it's continuously. Was it continuously, Dr. Jessica, to age 12?
Grandfather, 3 until 10, and grandfather and 2 uncles, 3 until 10, and a stepfather and his friend from 7 until 12.
Now, listen to that. And look how many different people. Now, I must tell you, at 9, I experienced it again. At 9, being molested again by my stepfather. Again. So it's, I need you to understand that there is absolutely nothing, and you will, by the time this broadcast comes to a close, you will understand that regardless of what we experience in our lives, it will only stay suppressed for so long. It must come out if it was detrimental, if it was that impactful to us, especially during our young years. Then it must come out because it affects us through our entire lives. So this
Correct.
Is valuable. Yes, Dr. J?
Absolutely. And you know what's really, it's just so sad that the spirit of shame and guilt and blame, the stigma of all of it, is really something that keeps us quiet. It keeps us silent. Because we get caught up in wondering what people will say. Well, when we live authentically, based in the Word, and just relentlessly pursuing the heart of the Lord, He takes care of all of that. And we learn that we find His strength in us for sharing it, for helping someone else come out of the dark and come out of that place that is so demonstrative and so destructive to us in our lives.
Yes. And Dr. Jessica hit it on the head, if you will, when she said it is a spirit. It is indeed, dear ones, it is a spirit. Shame and guilt is not of God. That is a spirit that was placed on you during that time of violation. But I tell you this, before this broadcast is over, that spirit will have to go. Why? Because only the truth sets you free. And Dr. J and I've already given you a nickname. Doesn't take long for me. We together are going to ensure that that diabolical demon, that spirit, will have to flee. You know, Dr. J, amen. Oh, my gosh. Amen. Now, listen. Dr. Jessica said that she became an alcoholic and a drug-using teenager. But she said, but sniffing glue and drinking alcohol and using prescription and street drugs and hurting herself never ended the intense pain that she felt inside. So we're going to talk about that right now. It's time to move forward. Now, Dr. Jessica, you said that your parents were alcoholic and suffered from mental health issues, and you became an alcoholic yourself, and you went into the mental health arena of your career. So let's talk about how we talked about your childhood. Now let's talk about here you are a teenager, and you're experiencing alcohol, and you moved into drugs. Tell us about that period in your life.
Well, actually, I don't think I mentioned it to you, but my grandfather used to keep gallons of this old Gallo purple wine in the kitchen, and he would drink it all day. He was an alcoholic as well. The grandfather violated me, and actually my two sisters as well. And, you know, I used to sip that beginning about 7. And then at home, when there was liquor left in cups, my sister, who's a year younger, and I would go behind and drink it. It was just something we did. And then I guess it was about 12, there was this trend of sniffing glue and taking Bennies and Reds and things of that nature. And, you know, it helped me cope. It didn't take the pain away, but in my mind, it changed things. You know, there was, you know, something in my mind altered. And I like not being in my reality. I liked being, actually, when it was a psychedelic drug is when I really liked it, because I just wasn't present in reality. And that was about 16 when that started.
You know, it's interesting today, you know, I really want parents to hear this, what she just said, and to understand, because our youth and our young adults today, their reality doesn't look so good and promising for them right now. Why? Because we have no community centers. We have no programs. They've taken for them for summer or after school where they could go and hang out like it was when Jessica and I were growing up. They've taken a lot of the creative arts out of our schools today. So
right.
There is nothing to inspire their creative side of them, so they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't teach business in high school, so it's not like they can start their own businesses. So I want you to understand what she's saying here. She wanted to escape her reality. It wasn't about being rebellious or anything, was it, Dr. J? It was just you wanted to escape your reality.
Right. That's correct, Dr. Beverly.
And is that not what's going on today? But here, this is a whole nother sermon. As a matter of fact, Dr. J will have to come back and we'll have to address this, because this is a burden of mine. And that is, so many of our young adults today, our youth today, they don't even try to escape reality because they don't want to do drugs. So what are they doing? They are committing suicide. So this is why we need to talk and we need to share so that we can help each other, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about transparency. So, Dr. J, you're going to have to come back on again, and we're going to address that area for our young adults. But right
Absolutely. Now,
yeah, I mean, it so burdens me. I know you have to see cases like this. I know you do.
All the time.
You mentioned that you became a teen mom and you found yourself right back in with sexual abuse and abuse. But with your husband this time, I don't understand. Can you help us understand what you mean by that?
Well, you know, my mother and her family were Catholic, and they really had conflicting belief systems. Because I was an unmarried mother, then I shamed the family. So they really pushed me to get married immediately, and it was with a man I really didn't know and I really didn't even like. And the marriage was basically set up. I was very unhappy. I felt very trapped. Immediately became pregnant with another baby by 17. That's my second son. And my husband was a Vietnam vet, and he was an addict, and he was violent, and I suffered mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It was a very, very difficult time.
I cannot imagine so many different volatile experiences at the age of 16 and 17 and two children. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand, Dr. J is not 6 feet tall, 200 pounds. She's a little woman. My God, are you 5'4"?
Oh, wow, that'd be gracious. I believe I'm really 11. I believe I'm about 4 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches, but I I got a 5 on the DMV in Buffalo. I didn't say 5 feet.
She is a little woman. She is a little woman, but powerful in her ability to just not give up. So I want you to visualize with me. Visualize this little woman, she's cheating with the 5 feet, 4'11", 3/4.
Hey, I don't cheat. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I don't cheat. They gave me the
thought. Okay. So visualize this woman with all these experiences, as young as she is and as petite as she is. So, Jessica, you said that you found yourself at age 21 in divorce court, and you said because it was your inability to show up for the hearing. Now, were you still sniffing glue at that time?
No.
Using prescription drugs? What happened?
It was just a really hostile encounter one night, and I tried to take both of my sons and flee. And he grabbed the youngest one, who is now 44, and I left with the older one, and I fled in my car to West Covina, California, to my mother. And her rule was, you cannot drink here, you cannot smoke here, you cannot have sex with people when you're not married here, you just need to go find a job. And that's exactly what I did. If you knew my mother, you knew you did what she asked you to do.
Strong-willed. Well, that sounds like the person that I'm interviewing, strong-willed. So, Jessica, you said that you had an employment opportunity that fell in your lap. Let's talk about that, because you were very successful. You were financially successful. You were respected, appreciated, honored. I need them to understand. Let's talk about that.
Well, I applied for a CETA training position at the Pasadena Urban League, and it was during the Office of Minority Business Enterprise when women in business were really, it was a, you know, a huge thing going on, and, you know, Mayor Bradley was in office, and there was all this, you know, busyness going on in Los Angeles, and I got picked up, and I got under the wing of the man who was running the Urban League, who trained me up and kept promoting me in other opportunities, and eventually I got hired at one of the major CalOMB programs and was a consultant for the Small Business Administration and a delegate for the President's office, and got very politically involved and became very successful and very wealthy, but then got introduced to powder cocaine and something called freebasing. And I hung out with some of the most successful, known musicians and actors and people who were involved with that in Los Angeles, and found myself caught in an addiction, a snare with a freebase.
Now, if you remember, well, ladies and gentlemen, it depends on what age you are, but that was a time when freebasing was terrorizing. It had just become popular. It was terrorizing lives and homes. If, you know, depending on your age group, you may remember where Mayor Bradley, even himself, had challenges with that, and it just brought his political his political career to demise. And things now, you know, for those that are in the business of counseling those that are suffering from, I call it the disease, and the violent disease of addiction and so forth. Drugs today are not like they were years
ago.
No. Not like they are at all. And so this, I mean, getting caught up, I want you to imagine that she is on top. Do you hear me? She is on top. She's a wealthy woman. She's rubbing shoulders with people that are in high power positions politically, corporately, and even in the world of Hollywood, if you would. And all of a sudden, the cocaine started to do...
I was just fixated and obsessed with it. I couldn't put it down. I mean, I had an office on the 10th floor of the Lloyd Bank building right there on Spring Street. It was all glass. You know, you looked out your window, and I would keep a plate of cocaine in the meeting room and free base in my office. I just couldn't put it down. And if you recall, I had a condo on Doheny Drive. I had a three-story home in Laurel Canyon. I had a 57 Gullwing Mercedes. I had a Mercedes drop top. And I had everything external, but I still hadn't resolved all of that pain. So with the addiction in me, that disease, waking up again, and living to just be high daily, you know, you start using the income that you have in this successful life to support your habit, and a couple of things happen. One is you forget that you have all the other responsibilities, people to pay, and the paranoia set in, and I couldn't handle it anymore. And within the blink of an eye, I said, I've got to get out of here, get away from these people. And if I can get away from these people, I won't use anymore. And as insidious as it sounds, I put the business up for sale, and eventually, very quickly, hired a U-Haul, a couple of guys, cleaned out the houses, and moved to the Bay Area, to Oakland, California, like running from myself. That is how treacherous, that is how bound you can get in the addiction. I don't care what the addiction is. I don't care if it's a freebase, crack, meth, heroin, prescription narcotics. Addiction is addiction, and it overtook my mind.
Now, I'm going to interject for a moment because she said, now, Dr. J said, I don't care what the addiction is. When it takes over your mind, that is huge, because there's many types of addictions, dear ones. It's not just drugs and not just alcohol.
Nope.
There are sexual addictions. There are some that are addicted to abuse. There are all types of addictions. And she also says something that is very important, bound. These addictions or diseases, they're strongholds. They are there to bind you so that you can't think. You can't move forward. It paralyzes you. They paralyze you from having a quality of life. So can
yes.
we really judge? Can we really judge people that are going through challenges of addictions? I want everyone that's listening to this broadcast to release the spirit of judgment. Okay, so let's say there are some on the call, on the line, listening, say, well, I don't do drugs. Okay. Well, there are many types of addictions, though. We need to take a look at our lives. We must take a look at ourselves, take a look at our heart. Anything that we do habitually, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. J, anything that we do habitually that is not healthy is a form of addiction. Is that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, you keep saying things like before I speak, you know, you're like saying something that I believe I'm led to say. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful way that you're navigating. When I think about my day, I've been in the field 19 years. I probably work with, I would say, people who have substance use disorders or co-occurring disorders, or maybe some comorbidity, which is mental health substance use and a medical challenge. But the other 30% at least are process addictions, people who are addicted to the Internet, people who are addicted to their cell phone, people who are addicted to social media, people who are, how about this? How about people who are addicted to church? Not a healthy way, is that they're so addicted that they forget about their relationship. They forget about being a mother or a wife or taking care of things at home. They just don't have a balance. So process addictions are equally as life-threatening, and you're absolutely right. It rather robs you of living not just a quality life, especially for Christians, that we would live an extraordinary life. What about extraordinary? It just erodes the foundation of you being able to live in a way that is also pleasing to God.
Yes. Which is what he wants for us. He wants his absolute best for us. And his best does not come with bondage. It doesn't come with strongholds. His best is simply provided to us. It's given to us. It's a gift in the most precious package that it can be delivered in. And that simple package is love. It is imperative, imperative that we stop judging each other. Because I must tell you, where we are today, each and every one of us, everyone listening, Dr. J and I, wherever we are today, we're not going to be here tomorrow, next week, next month. We are constantly becoming. We are always becoming, and we will never be there because of the greatness of what our Father, God, has for each and every one of us. And he's so humongous, so vast. What he has for us, we cannot fathom in one given lifetime. So we'll never be there. We're always becoming, always growing, always learning. So how can one judge someone for being in the process of learning where they are now? That's like judging someone that's in the seventh grade and he's still a preteen. You don't know what he's going to be at age 21. So it's time to stop. This is why, again, we are sharing our experiences. There are no perfections in the training ground and of life. There is only survival. There's challenges. There's survivals. There's victories. There's overcoming. And every single one that listening to this broadcast, we are all an overcomer. Are we not, Dr. J?
Absolutely. I fully agree with that.
You know, you mentioned that you sold everything in your business, and but you said that for the next several years, though, you lived in your worst nightmare of drinking and drugging and transient living. So help us guide us through that part of your journey.
Well, actually, there's a bit of a timeline prior to that. Is when I left L.A. and I got to Oakland, I stopped drinking and using it. Like, you know, it just shut down. And I went to the continuing education, the bar, and they had some paralegal courses. I wanted to do something totally new, which I did. And then I found myself drinking socially, but I was functioning. I was a managing alcoholic at that point, no drugs. Well, alcohol is a drug, but meaning no illicit drugs, no pharmaceutical drugs. And I opened a paralegal firm, became very successful again. I was across the street from local police and bought the governor's estate up on Perkins Street, right above Lake Merritt. And about 1985, my next door neighbor invited me over. And she was cooking up powder cocaine. She was from New York. And she wanted to know if I wanted to join her in smoking freebase, you know, and that's all she wrote. And it, you know, the addiction just started all over again. And one night there was no powder cocaine. There was no anything. So she and I drove to West Oakland, California, and we bought our first crack. And crack was the devil himself. I mean, crack literally destroyed me and destroyed any semblance of my life. It was absolutely demonic. And if I had the time to tell you some of those stories, you would not believe it, things that I experienced while smoking crack cocaine.
Well, you're talking to Dr. B. So, you know, I believe it. I am sure that you had encounters with those diabolical forces. I am sure you did. And I that is a horrible drug. I watch people, good people, loving people, family people. That drug comes in like a demon on wheels, and it just takes you down to the lowest level. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying they're not wanting to be down there. I need you to hear me. They're crying for help. They want to get out. They don't want to do it. They can't stop. It overtakes you completely. It's like being snatched into the darkness, into the pit of hell itself. It is a horrible drug. Horrible drug. So I please, again, don't judge. Many people that are in, and of course this is Dr. J's specialty area, so, you know, certainly interject if necessary, but, you know, many people are, you know, they go into drug use for an escape, like Dr. J mentioned, escape into reality. And then that reality takes over all reality. It's not because it's where they want to be. It's because they're now trapped, caged in this reality of drug life. And they don't seem to see a door, an avenue of escape, or a way out. Now,
you know, sorry, I apologize.
No, please interject. If you
you know, I believe I shared with you that, you know, this beautiful estate that I bought, I owned, you know, I owned, paid mortgage, but it was my home, fabulous home, that one night when there was nothing in the Bay Area to purchase, I don't even remember when I left or how I left, but the house was up for sale. And I found myself coming out of a blackout 3 months later in Monrovia, California, which is very far from the Bay Area south. And people hear those things and are thinking, that's not possible. Trust me. With the depth of how far I went in my addiction, it literally is possible. And again, I lost everything and ended up becoming homeless and remained homeless until February 16th of 1992, but went in and out of 13 treatment facilities, including Delancey Street, and just wasn't ready to get well. I wasn't ready to stop using
treatment centers. And Delancey Street is very popular for their success rate in San Francisco, ladies and gentlemen. But she said she wasn't ready. Now, she didn't say she didn't want to be ready. I need you to hear that. She said she wasn't ready. When something has you in bondage, it's not that you don't want to be free, but you have now become like partners. And it's like trying to tear away from any close relationship, whether it's a relationship of love, whether it's a relationship of marriage. It becomes hard to tear away. So you mentioned, Jessica, that you survived kidnappings, rapes, beatings, Russian roulettes. Please
yes,
share
absolutely.
That with us. Was that while you were homeless?
No, because when I was in the streets, I never, like, lined up with how the lifestyle worked. You needed someone. What was it? You needed it. In the streets, they would, they had this code of honor that you always had a pimp. Women couldn't be by themselves or they're renegades, but I never looked at myself that way, although you know, I'm very, very vulnerable and very transparent when I speak about my life story, in that, you know, you do what you do to get what you need to get in order to, you know, continue to take your drugs. But I experienced all of that and more. It was the March 9th, the 1901 incident at 3 in the morning, trying to get the change in an ashtray, you know, for whoever would drive by, that I might get money to get one last hit. I had been praying, God, let me have one last hit, and I'm going to stop. And a car came around the corner with three young men in it, and I got shot in the heart at point blank range. And I had an encounter with the Lord. I live with that bullet in my heart. But as you said, substance use addiction to the point of dependence that I was, it still didn't, it wasn't enough for me to get clean. 52 staples going down my chest, bullet in my heart, pericardial bag repaired miraculously. I went back out after I left the rehabilitation hospital to learn how to brush my teeth and do everything all over again, and I went back to the streets and kept smoking crack until February 16th of 1992, when God rescued me and delivered me from something I wasn't capable of doing. It took God and His mercy and His grace and His plans for my life for me to get clean, you know. And I remembered, I think it was the first 24 hours, someone had read a scripture to me, and it was Jeremiah 29:11, and I had it in my standing scripture. That was in my standing scripture, you know, about what plans He has for me. And, you know, at the end of Jeremiah 29:11, you come down, and he definitely gives you a clear word, is that, you know, and He will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I got it. I grabbed that scripture and I ran with it, because it was as if He was just speaking it to me. And that was it. I've never looked back.
My God, that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, I want everyone that within the sound of this broadcast and through the archives to write that down. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to hurt you, but to prosper you.
Yes.
Did you hear what Dr. J said? She tried 13 treatment centers. She experienced a bullet to her heart that gave her an experience, an encounter with the Lord Himself. And still she had challenges, because why? She still came back into the world. The world that exists around us is a world full of violence. It's full of contamination. It's full of drugs. It's full of people with negativity. Everyone is talking about you. People are judging. The world still exists around us. The only thing, the only one that could save Dr. J, the Lord Himself. He told her that He has plans for her. He came in and rescued her. He said, daughter, enough is enough. But look at God. I need to understand. Look at God. Oh, God. He's always watching. He sees every day, every minute, every hour of the day, every day of the week. He sees us. And I'm here to tell you that He has been with her all along, her entire life, her entire life, because it is absolutely no way a person, and a little woman as petite as she is, could survive a lifetime of abuse mentally, physically, emotionally. And I need you to hear what she said when she had free base cocaine in one plate, one bowl, and powder cocaine in a plate beside it. It is absolutely no way a body can take all of that and still live. She did not OD. She got shot in the heart. Isn't that amazing? Straight to the heart was where the Lord had to reach her. In her heart.
And I live from my heart, Dr. Beverly.
Hmm?
I live from my heart, Dr. Beverly.
Hmm. God is good. Do you know why,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen, she's here? Do you know why she's still here today, why she's alive today? Do you think it's by happenstance? I'm here to tell you it is not. She is here to let us know that the Lord is always with us. He will,
yes,
save us regardless of who we are or how we are or what we've done or how low we think that we have sunk or how low someone may tell us that we have sunk. Our God is with us, and he does not give up. He snatched her out of the pit of hell. Her world was hell. Even when she was living a wealthy life on top with her Mercedes and her mansions, her life was hell. And there was only one that could save her and rescue her, and that was God himself. And she is here to tell about that. She's here to tell that, and she does that. That's how she has committed her life to helping others. So please share with them what it is that you do now, Dr. Jessica.
Well, I want to kind of very quickly go through that. After I got clean, I completed a one-year treatment program and a one-year aftercare program. And I was really, really, really blessed to be able to get into a junior college for the first time in my life and ended up getting accepted into Sac State, California University of Sacramento, became a McNair Scholar, earned my first doctorate in 2004, received three honorary doctorates September 11th of 2004, and I began working in the field of addiction. And in 2006, I founded Gateway Corp. It's an integrated behavioral health center, but we are faith-based, and God is in the center, and he is the foundation of everything we do. And then when I saw the quality of continuing education that was available for certified counselors or licensed individual, I was really led to open a continuing education firm and also a place for consulting and speaking, because I do speak and present nationally. And everything we do, we take a percentage, a large percentage of what comes in, and we provide services at no cost to individuals and families, not just in our community, but those that call. It would be rare for us to turn anyone away. God had me birth something called the Bullying Prevention Anti-Bullying Program. We provide workshops, trainings, and educational series teaching children, youth, teachers, adults who are still living at home, who bully their parents, and parents who just get bound and can't find a way to launch their adult children. We are very, very active with that work. I'm also a senior pastor and have been in ministry leadership since 2002. I was pregnant when I got clean, about 4 months, and I was pregnant with twins. I have raised them primarily as a single mother their entire life with Jesus at the head of our family and in our lives, and they will be 22 this month. And you know, we live an extraordinary life. Everything that God births through me, I do with a spirit of excellence. And in my imperfection, in the days where I fall short because I'm human, I do everything that he has given to me between my prayer, my praise, reading the word, being of service to glorify him in all ways.
You know, I know I can feel in my spirit that some are thinking, how in the world can one person do all of that? Well, she didn't do it by herself, dear ones.
Yeah.
She chose the Father. She chose the Lord. And when she made that conscious decision, he supernaturally catapulted her forward so that she could gain the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding so that her testimony going forth will be so stupendous that there is absolutely no way that any of us could not know that it is all God. She is not a bitter woman, angry. She doesn't spit curse words like sailors. She just loves the Lord. She could be angry. She could be bitter. But she loves the Lord. She loves people. She is in the trenches. She's not just in office. She's in the trenches with those that are in the trenches, struggling, trying to just survive, and then helping them to understand who they are and whose they are. She's educated herself. She counsels others, and she still gives the word. She's a senior pastor. She is a true servant of God. And her daughters, I've met them. They're beautiful. And they're following their mother's path.
Thank you.
With education. Their smile just radiates. They're amazing young women. So don't you think that there is anything possible for you. My mother always says, there is nothing impossible, and there is no one untrainable, and there is nothing unattainable. So Dr. Jessica is a living, walking, breathing example. Look what the Lord has done. She is availing her life to you professionally, emotionally, spiritually, so that each and every one of us that have an ear to hear can move forward, not just step by step or just to make it, but to soar. Now, it's interesting. You know, my company is called Eagle Wings. Dr. Jessica is definitely a soaring eagle.
Thank you. I received those words. Thank you, Dr. Beverly.
Now, we still have plenty of time left, and I want to make sure that they are able to contact you. But before we get into that, is there anything else that you feel is, that you should share or you want to share with our audience?
You know, I read Psalm 16 every morning, although Jeremiah 29 is my foundational standing scripture. And, you know, there's something about Psalm 16 that just really causes me to rest in the Lord. But this is something that I shared at a couple of national conferences, and I just really want to share it with everyone that's listening. And I do live to yield to the Lord, to save the sick, the lost, and addiction one heart at a time. But this is a piece that the Holy Spirit gave me, and I just really believe it's just something that I'm to share. And that is that love does not seek a return. Love loves for the sake of loving. It's not how people treat us or whether they even like or love us that matter. What's important is generally showing up in their lives, and for that is what us heroes are all about. I believe that the Lord allows us this incredible life to make a difference in the lost, the broken, the addicted, and those in pain. So for me personally, anyone who reads about my story and my life and your loved one is addicted and in pain, don't give up on them. Hand it all over to faith and trust. For the most part, it will all turn out fine. And I wish all of you peace, love, and hope for your today. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jessica.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That is beautiful. Please don't leave, though. There is something that I really want to bring back to the remembrance of our audience, and that is that Dr. Jessica could not do this by herself. She could not. She had all the opportunities. She had a near-death experience. She had treatment centers, people that reached out to her, but she still could not do it on her own. I truly want to everyone to embrace that sometimes, most times, we need, in order to move forward in our lives, past those things that seem to entrap us and hold us back. Well, those are spirits assigned to do that. And you have to have someone that you can talk with, partner with, to give you a spiritual awareness of the word that can help explain what's going on and give you the tools that you need to be able to move beyond where you are. You know, Dr. Jessica says that she counsels women, she speaks, but you know what she also did? She gave you the word, because the word works. The word is our foundation. The word is a living, breathing word. It's our Father's direction for us. It's his answer for everything that we could possibly go through. It encourages us. It strengthens us. It heals us. It revives us. It restores us. But if you don't have that and you don't have a knowledge thereof, or you're dealing with or seeing people in your life that can assist you in your walk, whether it's counseling or coaching, that it's not based on biblical principles or factors, please reconsider and look for someone that is grounded, that is evidence-based, faith-based, and they function on the biblical principles of the Word of God. Faith is a learned thing, but when you have it, it's life-altering, life-changing, life-saving. Now, I'm sure Dr. Jessica is open to taking more clients. Yes?
If they're a fit, yes. You know, not everyone is the right fit,
yes,
with a clinician, whomever it may be. And I'm someone who believes in telling the truth. So in the event it was someone that I didn't believe was an individual that I was to work with, I would provide them with a referral to one of my colleagues. And we basically are all faith-based, and we work very similar. I do have a pretty busy schedule, but it doesn't keep someone from calling me to ask. And if you want, I can provide a contact number and a website. And I always ask people to look at the website and pray over it to see what God says to them about whether they're led to come to me.
Well, you provide for them whatever it is that you feel that you want the audience that heard the broadcast to have.
Okay, well, the number to our office is 916-481-7500. The website is www.gatewaycorp.org. And my direct email is drj, which is Dr. J, at gatewaycorp.org. My direct phone number is 916-529-2343.
Well, there you have it. You now have multiple ways to contact Dr. Jessica Rodriguez. As you remember, she is a speaker. She is a consultant. She is a counselor. She is a woman that knows business. So as you listen to the broadcast and re-listen to it, because it is immediately saved in the archive upon the conclusion of the broadcast. So you can go back and listen to that if you need to get the information for how to contact her again, or if you're needing her to come and speak to your women's groups, whatever it is, your church groups, whatever it is that fits into her scope, please do not hesitate to contact her. And I want to thank you again for tuning in to Inspiration, Empowerment, and breakthrough. And before I say goodbye for the last time to my Dr. J and your Dr. Jessica Rodriguez, I want to invite you to visit my website at www.drbeverlylswanson.com. You'll find multiple products on there and books and consultant packages and coaching packages, whatever your needs are. Please don't forget to take a listen to my weekly wisdom message audio style. Just click and you'll hear my voice for the wisdom message for that week. I look forward to being a part of your lives on a daily basis. Whatever you need to move forward in wisdom, understanding of the word, coaching and consulting is completely based on the word of God. And Dr. Jessica is right. You know, not everyone is a good fit initially, but I tell you, once you hear the word and once you experience, ladies and gentlemen, coaching and consulting by someone who truly loves the Lord, that love reigns through. Love never fails, and love conquers all. So, Dr. Jessica, thank you for sharing your information with us. Folks, don't forget to check out her website. Don't forget to check out my website. If you want to comment on the broadcast, send me an email at drbeverlylswanson.com or info@drbeverlylswanson.com or drbeverlylswanson@gmail.com. Check out my blog that I have online as well. I look forward to your comments. You can give me a call at the office at 916-320-5482. Dr. Jessica Rodriguez, you have been a joy. You have been a scholar. You've been a wealth of information. Your transparency is humbling and empowering. Thank you so much for taking time to sit on the couch with me and just talk to those that have an ear to hear.
And
you
thank
are
you, Dr.
a treasure.
Beverly. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You are truly a treasure, a colleague, a friend. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to let this powerful woman go. But tune in next week, the same time, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock for our next special guest on Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Dr. Jessica, goodbye once again. And ladies and gentlemen, we shall see you next